Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him. Today I'm speaking on the subject of sonship. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm reading verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." Verse 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Verse 14. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." The only way to be sure that you are really a functioning son of God is to be controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. If you are still controlled by the flesh, you will die and even perish. You have to make Jesus Lord of your life and kill the flesh if you want life. We read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 20. Verses 34, 35, and 36. I'm reading verse 34. "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage." Verse 35. "But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." Verse 36. "Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Those who are part of the first resurrection will not have natural bodies that decay, but be like the angels that do the will of God continually. So you have to put away the flesh now. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The word "dwelleth" in Strong's is number 1774. It's taken from some other words, but it means to inhabit figuratively. To dwell in. Just because you're born again does not mean the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you as he should. Paul continued in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." You will be energized by the Spirit and full of joy if the Spirit of Jesus has full control. The body is dead because you are busy seeking him for commands. In John 14, 22 and 23, we read, I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22. And Judah said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. When you seek him for commands, that is when Jesus moves in and sets up his throne in your heart. This is more than just saying the sinner's prayer. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God has made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ will not fellowship with sin. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is a guarantee of our inheritance, even if we are being convicted. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. If you are sinning, God will resist. The root of all sin is pride, and he will resist you if you are still being lord of your own life, using your mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word sealed in Strong's is number 4972. It's taken from another word which means to stamp for security or preservation. By implication, to keep secret, to seal up, or to stop. The word sealed also means stop. You have to stop sinning. Conviction is part of the process of sanctification that takes place from the moment you move into Christ that will help you to stop sinning. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is of God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Regular conviction is God sealing you, ready for a holy life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If your life is not being transformed, then you are not abiding in Christ. If you are in the flesh, when he appears, you will be ashamed. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Do you know that he is righteous? Or are you assuming that you'll be ready? Paul said in Galatians 3 and 26, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. Your abiding shows faith in him that you will come to maturity as well. He knows best, and you repent of what he shows you now. There is a difference between you being in Christ and Christ in you. One comes before the other. John said in 1 John 3 and 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Keeping his commands out of love cannot be done in the flesh. You have to let the Holy Spirit dwell in you now. And if you're working on what he is showing you, you are ready. This is when Christ moves in, not through saying some religious prayer. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, that he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." Those disciples experienced the Holy Spirit dwelling in them before the cross, because they were already following Jesus, even though the Spirit had not yet come inside of them. The word "dwelleth" here is a reference to the Spirit finding full freedom to convict and expose anything in your heart that is offending a holy God. Sanctification is taking place already by the Spirit when you deny yourself and take up your cross. You should be trusting God with all your heart as he exposes sin. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1 on page 27, Joseph Hedgecock writes about the hotel principle. He says, "To explain trusting the Lord with all your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel having 1,000 rooms. Every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of these rooms you trust God, but you have 950 rooms you do not trust him with. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. He can open any door he wants, any time he wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors at once, and it would be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to the light at the same time. God does not do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then he deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until that room is cleared out. There could be one room with 50 things in it that must be dealt with before the whole room trusts God. He gives you the grace to work on one area at a time. When he decides it is no longer time to work on that room, he shuts the door and locks it. Everything else in that room is covered by grace until it is time for the Spirit to deal with it, and it's not held against you. God already sees what is behind every door in your hotel. Why not give him the master key so his work can be completed in you? In this way, you are renewed day by day and become like Christ. It is time to be honest and admit what you have allowed Satan to do because of ignorance, unbelief, and rebellion. If you confess and tell God what you did and why you did it, this opens the doors in your heart. While the conviction is there, he will help you to get to the root of sin. Just confess your sin, and God will show you how Satan got in and hardened your heart with his lies. This is available by grace through faith. God will not judge you. Paul said in Romans 6 and 16, "Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, and to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." A locked door in your heart is an area of silent rebellion, and in that area you are can have many sins that you are serving because you want something that you think God will not let you have. But whatever you serve now will also become your master. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. He said in verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Verse 12, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was not holding on to anything. If you are holding on to something, you cannot take it with you. Holding on to something is not trusting God, and therefore it is sin. John said in 1 John 3 and 8, this is the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil can get access through sin, and you will end up serving the devil instead. The Holy Spirit is faithfully at work in us to bring truth and conviction when we take the narrow path. John said in 2 John, this is the second epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. You will be spending eternity with truth. The Spirit of truth is there to expose lies now. Jesus is the truth. You will not be ready for his appearing if you do not listen and submit to the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit is in us now so that we can do the perfect will of God and rule with Christ now and for all eternity. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. If the Holy Spirit is not free to convict, then you're making room for sin to dwell instead. You're either serving God by the Spirit or serving the devil through sin. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There is no third kingdom. Paul was using his mind trying to understand the things of God. He saw the good, but working these things out with his mind caused him to disobey. You will end up like Paul in Romans 7 if you listen to your own mind. Paul says in Romans 7, verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, he says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. The sinful nature is the reason you are sinning. You have to accept that there is nothing good in you. Through the blood of Jesus, you can now remove sin and get connected again to God. Once you're connected, do not listen again to your own heart and mind. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 says this. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God looks at what you do, not just at what you say. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you are still consulting your mind, this is not trusting God. And those who are wise in their own eyes will not be able to depart from evil. Departing from evil is a trademark of being a son of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. My faith does not work unless he is Lord. Faith only works when you are responding to what he is directing. It might be a command, it might be conviction. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. You have to get in Christ by faith first and abide. And then by denying yourself and yielding to the new nature, the flesh dies. When you become a son of God, you are only interested in doing the will of God. This is what defines you, because the kingdom of God is your inheritance, not the things on this earth. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1, I'm reading from verses 3 to 5. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being with the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Jesus received his right to be king because he obeyed. He was not just a son because he came from God. He chose to sanctify himself in his humanity, to bring many sons to glory. He became a son because he denied himself and took on the form of a servant first. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading from verses 5 to 11. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You cannot have sonship and glory without being a servant and doing the will of the Father. Jesus said in John 5:30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The King James Bible uses the word seek. The Amplified Bible uses the word consult. In Strong's, the word seek in John 5:30 is number 2212. It doesn't have an origin, but it means to seek literally or figuratively, specifically to worship God, or in a bad sense, to plot against life, to go about, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire, to require, to seek. Jesus never consult his own will. But he denied himself as well. Jesus did not have a fallen nature to consult, but he chose to identify fully with us by never consulting his own will, which was not wrong or corrupted. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now therefore, there is no more excuse for sin." Jesus proved that he could live his life practically and never miss God's perfect will and overcome death by just listening to the Father in heaven. Your mind will betray you. Joseph Hedgecock says, "What you think you know is hindering you from knowing what you need to know now. Always seek or inquire after his perfect will, and do not be concerned for your own life." Jesus taught us to pray like this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. He said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." You should be more concerned about his perfect will than you are about where your next meal is coming from. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 28, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much more than they?" Verse 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." If you genuinely stop consulting your own mind, then you have a possibility to hear what God is telling you to do instead. His kingdom is here now, so you need to get your orders if you are a son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33 and 34, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You cannot even think about tomorrow unless he tells you to do something in advance. God supplies, and this will glorify God because he will be able to meet all your needs. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Joseph recommends in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, you start by asking God about small things like clothes. Clothes and food are things that God will definitely provide according to Jesus' teachings. So you only need to ask the Father in this area and have no doubt if you're following Christ. Jesus Christ taught this nearly 2,000 years ago, but many have rejected his teachings and just buy what they want instead without asking the Lord. Are you willing to be still and give those two areas to him and focus on his perfect will instead? Asking him should not be based on your own understanding of the situation either. You must not consult your own mind. Let God give you the question as well as the answer. Asking a question based on your own mind shows you are thinking too much, We never know what to ask, but we were here for the sake of doing His perfect will. Eternal life is available now if you make Jesus Lord in everything. John said in 1 John chapter 5, 13, 14, and 15, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. By faith, expect thoughts to come to your mind, and then ask Him a question based on those thoughts. He will answer instantly. His immediate answer will confirm the fact that you have eternal life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 to 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 to 13. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Verse 12. "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known." Verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These things, but the greatest of these is love." We are not supposed to make right decisions based on knowing each situation fully. Therefore, we can put away thinking and treat this as childish. If you've really done this, then only faith, hope, and love remain. Have you done this? Or are you still going back to thinking? Repent now if you want to be a true son. By listening to God, we can do the right things because He knows the end from the beginning. God even knows you better than you know yourself. Thinking is childish and immature, so put it away. Paul says in Romans 8:15, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In the Amplified Bible, Romans 8:15 says, "For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father." A baby will cry for its mother because it's getting uncomfortable or is not getting what it wants. But you cannot have sonship without being dependent on your Heavenly Father. Your heart should cry, Abba, Father, because you want to do His will, not because you're uncomfortable. David said in Psalms 23, verses 4, 5, and 6, he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When you see how God delivers you, then you realize that mercy and grace comes from dwelling in Him and Him dwelling in you. You do not need any prayers of special blessing from the Old Testament. If you're living in the kingdom now, the blessings follow you because you are following Christ. He takes care of your life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul was trapped before under the law. If your faith is in yourself doing the right things to please God, your faith is misplaced. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 18, But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. A son of God, led by the Spirit, is above the law because you're doing the will of the Father by obeying the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, and I'm reading to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 14. Verse 8, he says, Now you are full, now you are rich, and you have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye do reign, but that we also reign with you. Verse 9, For I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were, appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Verse 10, We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11, Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12, And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13, Being defamed we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. The Corinthians were babes in Christ. In the Amplified, verse 14 uses the word children, not sons. Paul wanted the Corinthians to grow up and become sons, but they were still selfish and immature, still yielding to the flesh. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you able. Verse 3, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Babies want to stay in a place of comfort now and will end up serving the devil. The devil is the one keeping them comfortable. The only way you can be sure of being saved is to get your comfort from living in the kingdom now. Paul said in Romans 14 and 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The true gospel is found here. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. To fully appreciate the joy and peace in the kingdom, deny yourself. Otherwise, the devil might offer you a counterfeit instead. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever. Doing the will of God is eternal security, nothing else. To not give up the comforts of this world, you have to listen to a wrong voice bringing comfort to your flesh. This may happen when the pressure is off and when you don't deny yourself daily, but instead indulge in the flesh, rather than continue in the calling you have received. This is what happened to David, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Faith is trusting God that He knows your needs and He is transmitting His perfect will for you right now and every second. Paul said to a young church in Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verses 12 to 14. This is Paul speaking. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Baby Christians do not grow up because they like the time of grace when they were just doing whatever they wanted and still do not reap the consequences of their sins. Some call this the honeymoon period. The grace runs out when you do not accept Jesus as Lord. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8, 34 to 36, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Only by Jesus taking complete control of your life will you be free from sin. If you are sinning, then you are still a slave. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are a son. We read in John chapter 1, reading from verses 6 to 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bore witness and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. When you receive Jesus as Lord, he will give you power to become a son of God. Mankind has rejected the Lord because they loved the darkness rather than the light. The Jews rejected him as king over them because they had built their own kingdom. He is the light of the world. And if you reject Jesus as your king, you will live in darkness. We know that the kingdom is here now by the Spirit, and he will rule and reign literally for 1,000 years. So if he is not your Lord now, when he comes, you will not be ready. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When Jesus came the first time, this was the announcement. In Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call him Jesus. Verse 32. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. In these verses, you will see that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah. His kingdom is also the end of all suffering. But you have to abide in that kingdom if you want to be free from the curses of disobedience. If you get in the flesh, then you will reap the consequences. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Those who were sick came to Jesus, but only a few were willing to follow him. John the Baptist was imprisoned and expecting Jesus to set up the kingdom of God and remove the Roman Empire. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6. I'm reading verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Verse 3. And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus paid the price for everyone to have grace and truth and be part of the kingdom of God now that has been here for 2,000 years by the Holy Spirit. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. I'm reading Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Everyone can benefit from this peace and joy, but it's on an individual basis. This peace and joy is not going to be administered by some government authority removing the devil. It has to be received by personal repentance. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, and saying, Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Also, Jesus was preaching the same. We read in Matthew 4 and 17. From the time that Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom is only experienced when you repent and stop using your mind and no longer live in the flesh and live by the Spirit instead. We read in John chapter 18 and verse 36, and Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." In the last days, a lot of stress is coming on this earth. But this is because God is withdrawing his grace. So we need to be ready. If you find yourself losing your joy and peace, repent, for the kingdom of God is here now. Jesus said in Luke 21, verses 26 to 28, said, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." Verse 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." Maybe you'll end up like John the Baptist and start doubting. John had a high calling, but he was using his mind trying to understand the things of God. When you see fear increasing on the earth, then you know this is one of the signs that Jesus is coming very soon. This stress is also going to continue into the tribulation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." The world and the church will be given one last chance to repent. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 to 19, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Verse 18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Verse 19, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Grace is available now for the church to repent. Grace is being removed in the world so that those who are comfortable Christians will be shaken and realize that they are in the flesh and repent. Comfortable Christians spend all the things they have gained in this world on the lusts of the flesh. "You will not find something in my house that I went out and bought just because I wanted it and did not ask God first." Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, I'm reading, this is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, "For it became him for whom all things and by whom all are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." You cannot live the blessed life without a close walk with the Lord. Get on the narrow way and start appreciating the trials you're going through, as these are keeping you closer to Jesus than you realize. You might have been more backslidden if the devil offered you a comfortable life, including everything you dreamed of having up to now. James said in James chapter 1, I'm reading verses 9 to 11, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Verse 10, but the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass and the flower thereof, and falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so shall the rich man fade in his ways. It is important to make sure that you depend on the kingdom of God up until he appears. We read in Luke chapter 6, I'm reading from verses 20 to 28. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 28. In verse 20 he said, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Verse 26, woe unto you that are, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Verse 27, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Do not be afraid of suffering. It is part of the blessed life. Suffering is part of the narrow way. Jesus described the blessed life in his teachings here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In the Amplified Bible, blessed is defined as happy to be envied, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward circumstances. James says in James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You are making progress spiritually when you have a right attitude to trials and difficulties. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. Many resist any kind of tribulation and ask God to bless them with something in the temporal realm instead. When God does not answer, they even listen to the devil. If the devil can offer you a comfortable life now and the things of the world, would you accept it? The cost of serving the devil is slavery to the kingdom of darkness now and hell for 1,000 years at least. If you believe his lies, then you will feel great now and even mock those on the narrow way that are really happy serving God despite their circumstances. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When you seek God for commands, it requires faith. I had a good job and became a top project manager for a research company in the UK. Despite all, I chose to seek God for commands and eventually resigned to follow the calling of God on my life. This looked foolish to the world, and if I listened to my own mind, then I might have disobeyed. Jesus said in Luke 9, 24 and 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? If you're willing to lose all, you may not lose anything at all. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I had a lot of help. I never really denied myself and took up my cross before I met Joseph Hedgecock. I was serving two masters. Jesus said in Matthew 6, and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. But it was in this context that I chose to seek God for a command. The answer came through a verse in the Bible that said, do not judge. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, judge not, that ye be not judged. Verse 2. For with that same judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with that what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. This was before I could hear his voice clearly. Judging was an issue I had made excuses about, and I had to stop. So this became my focus. The keeping of that command took 6 months of conviction and repentance before I could really stop judging. For more help, please refer to chapter 11 on making judgments in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. I also had to learn to love God, because the lack of the love of God in my heart was the reason I was judging. John said in 1 John 4 and 20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? What are you going to do now? God has given you a free will, and you have to decide. You have a chance to change the outcome in your life based on hearing and obeying God, and get a rich inheritance as a son. James says in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. God can easily keep the devil away for a short time at the beginning, when you are a baby, but you need to grow up and become a son. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He will never try you beyond what you are able to endure. Everything you need is either available in your foundation or by asking for what you need by the grace of God to rise above whatever God allows in your life. You may not realize this. A trial is actually God's way of saying you are behind, but you need to move on and stop listening to a wrong voice. James said in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is James chapter 1 and verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God can make the exception and change you and do everything through you by his grace, so you finish your race on time. However, if he did this, then you would miss out on all that lovely repentance. Every time you repent of something, you are set free from the snares of the evil one, and you also gain something for all eternity that you will never lose. Repentance is the currency exchange office of heaven. If you lose something for following Christ, you will gain 100-fold in the world to come. That is a great investment you don't want to miss. Jesus said in Matthew 13, and verse 23, but he that receives the seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some in 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Also in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. God is not the problem. You may want to have this intimate relationship with God, where you just fall deeply in love with God. That can happen, but remember, love is not just a feeling. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Only his love is pure. That love must first be received. At the start of your Christian walk, you may have got an overwhelming sensation of that love or had many spiritual encounters. But perhaps, like many, that first experience of his love disappeared quickly into the emptiness of your wicked heart and soul. The love of God did flood every part, giving you a taste of God's goodness. That taste was for you to realize the love of God for you and remove doubt so that you could walk with him by faith in this dark world. Earth belongs to God, and his kingdom is here now. But the devil has become popular because the world has rejected the Lord. God is not going to remove the devil now. Instead, you have to learn to live in the kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 20, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." I was preaching in London one time, and this lady came up to me and said, "I do not like preachers." She said, "I believe God is the problem because God created the devil and he knew that the devil also caused men to sin. Therefore, God is the problem." I answered this lady by saying, "Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is the problem, you have come to the wrong conclusion. God has provided a place that is devil-free. It's called the kingdom of God now. But to live there, you have to deny yourself." Luke 17 and verse 21 says, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The devil is often a sheepdog to bring people back to Christ. Doubts are based on unbelief, and unbelief comes from listening to the devil. Even when you want to follow Christ, unbelief will hinder your faith, so later you may need some trials to help purify your faith if you want to grow up. God is love, but people do not believe because they cannot feel that love. They want to feel his love in terms of material blessings and nice things so they can spend it on the lust of their flesh. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 3, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Two things will stop you from receiving God's provision. Number one, you are asking for something that will make your flesh more comfortable. Or two, you intend to spend what you receive on the lust of your own flesh. Right now, you can use his love instead for seeking God's commands and doing his will. By sowing and reaping love, you will get a regular supply of his pure love. The Bible says you reap what you sow. If you seek God for commands, then you'll always feel loved too. For more information, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hitchcock. The whole world is waiting on God to do something nice. Meanwhile, God is waiting on man to seek him for a command so he can do something nice. Jesus was teaching the disciples and said this in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 21. "He that has my commands and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Many Christians are lazy today and want to hire a preacher to save them rather than work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. If it is your life, why would you put your eternal security in the hands of another person and rely on that person to tell you the truth? Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." When he comes back, he will rule with a rod of iron. Comfortable Christians want a savior, not him to be Lord. This is a sign that they are still childish. They will even pay money for someone to say a prayer and make everything go away rather than learn and endure correction. Christianity is not just another religion where you can hire a priest to do something on your behalf. You must do something yourself if you want to be saved. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Jesus is both Lord and Savior, and he can only be your Savior if he takes complete control of your life. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right before the reappearing of the Lord Jesus, there will be a period of stress and fear on this earth like never before. The only way you can pass through this is to love the truth. Paul is speaking about the last days. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading from verses 8 to 13. I'm reading verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The purpose of God-sent delusion is so that those who are disobedient quickly reap what they sow and get hurt enough and come to repentance before it's too late. Joseph Hedgecock says in chapter 9 of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page 109, there is a very comfortable Christianity most believers are following, but the end of that way is death. Jesus himself warned us that very few would find the straight and narrow way which leads to life. It is one thing to be openly rebellious. At least you know you are wrong. And there is hope you will turn from your wickedness. However, those believers who are deceived think that they are right when they are actually in sin. They are following the broad way that seems right to them. But the end of that road is death. They don't see the sin in which they are doing, and they won't listen to warnings because they are convinced they are going the right direction. If you try to warn someone who is deceived, they become offended and typically respond, Who do you think you are to warn me? I am not wrong. There are thousands of believers who think like I do, so how could I be wrong? How many people believe what you believe? People say they love Jesus, but they do not love good preaching based on the truth. Jesus is the truth, and this brings conviction. So if you resist correction all the time, it's because you have lost your first love. Paul continued in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. The calling to glory includes regular conviction, which is part of sanctification and repentance. Others will backslide in the last days, seek the comforts of the world instead. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but there is something that can separate us from his conscious presence, and that is our own sin and unbelief. But Paul learned this from experience through many different situations, obeying the direction of the Spirit. He said this in Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from verses 35 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying here in verse 39 that you will always experience his love when Jesus is Lord of your life. When you received Jesus, what did you receive? Did you make him Lord? Since the day of Pentecost, his kingdom has been here by the Spirit. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The first time I met Joseph Hedgecock, I did not know how to process conviction. I was quite convicted after traveling with him in Belgium and Holland for just a few days. He asked me why I always looked so miserable. It was because I was letting my sin separate me from his presence. Are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Then you are like the Pharisees. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. John 1:12 in the Amplified Bible says this, but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege or right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on his name. After receiving Jesus, you got the power to become like Jesus. So what have you done with it? If your life has not been changing, then you either did not receive Jesus, or you are resisting the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You cannot just make Jesus your Savior. This is a religion. That is like going into a restaurant and choosing what you want on the menu. If Jesus is not Lord of your life now, how will you be saved? You have to cling, rely on every word from him for the sanctification process to be completed, even striving against sin. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You need to compare yourself with Christ and make no excuse for your sin. He is our example. He was tempted in every way like us, and he chose to suffer. Jesus did not have to do this, but he did it so that you and I would have a chance to be a son of God like him. Paul continues in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading from verses 5 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How much rather be in subject unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You have to endure chastening to be a son of God. The word endure in Strong's is number 5278. It's from some other words, which means to stay under or behind. That is to remain, to undergo. That is to bear trials, to gain fortitude, to persevere, abide, endure, patiently, suffering. This kind of endurance for correction has eternal value for anyone who wants to finish their calling. It is not a part that is often emphasized, but it is essential if you want to become a son. Without discipline, you will not get to rule and reign with Christ. That this makes enduring correction extremely valuable if you have ears to hear. Now we have a better covenant that allows us to get back in his presence immediately and get the help we need. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. People do not value truth today. No one wants to hear no all the time. But when you are first born again, you are supposed to understand that nothing good lives in you. As parents, we have to say no to our small children all the time when they approach danger. The children who feel safest know that there is someone waiting to catch them when they jump or fall. You should feel the same way with your Heavenly Father. Jude says in Jude chapter 1, and verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. You should be clinging to him now, because you know that you were guilty of using your mind and earthly wisdom. At salvation, you should have seen the consequences of sin, that you were deceiving yourself. The lies that you were believing and following came because you believed and listened to your own heart and mind. We have grace and truth. So if you are making excuses, you are no longer looking for the reason why you are sinning. There are reasons why you keep sinning, and those reasons are identified through conviction, and you can come to repentance through submission and correction. There is grace to repent, but no grace to make excuses for your sin. We all make mistakes. I've made mine, but I'm submitted to those God-sent authorities in my life. I know if I fail again, there will be someone there to correct me, and I will be required to learn from my mistake The person over me is someone who will not let me just say, I'm sorry. God is faithful. This gives me the confidence to try new things and to now pioneer and experience everything I can based on His word. I have grace and truth to learn and become the person He wants me to be. But I know I have no grace to seek my own will. In my training, I had to learn to stop using my mind. Joseph Hedgecock told me to look at the last thing I did that got me out of His presence. This was my focus when I was growing up. The first thing I had to do was confess and get back in Christ and to avoid any condemnation. As soon as I felt the presence leave, I would stop and sometimes even turn around physically to see what I just did. Those things that were getting me out became my priority. Anything that separates you from God is iniquity. And that same iniquity is separating you from your inheritance and from a chance to rule and reign with Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Jesus Christ brought grace and truth so you could have time to repent and learn what causes sin and depart from evil. Psalm 36 and 12 says, "There are the workers of iniquity fallen, and they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Those who are not walking in the truth and make excuses for sin will face the judgment at the great white throne and miss the first resurrection." Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, "But our iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He would not hear." If you start walking with God by grace and then resist and depart from the truth, this is iniquity and brings you out of His presence immediately. Some avoid the correction of the Spirit and never grow up. If you keep sinning, then you will reap what you sow instead. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Never focus on what others are doing or not doing. You do not have time to think about this. If you are busy working out your salvation, you only have time to examine yourself and see if you are ready now. I want to help those born again who are seeking to be sons and want to rule and reign with Christ. This is what is available now for the ones who have been faithful. Those looking for a comforting message now and again will be left behind. I'm looking for those who are seeking repentance and love correction. You may be slow at repentance, but there is extra grace now in these last days. God is more interested in you becoming a son of God than you are. He wants people to have a spiritual inheritance, but is not without repentance. You cannot just choose to be a Christian by saying a prayer. You have to get on the narrow way and follow Christ. Jesus said, in John 10:27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." A real Christian does four things. Number one, he hears the voice of Christ more and more clearly. Number two, knows Jesus through personal experience and conviction. Number three, follows Christ by denying self and taking up one's cross daily. Number four, has the fruits of the Spirit by abiding in Christ. You cannot enjoy the kingdom of God and still be Lord of your own life. You cannot have righteousness and peace with God without living in the light. The darkness represents you using your own mind and making decisions yourself. If you are living in darkness, then you will sin again and again. Those who love truth will endure correction and conviction and change. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verses 15 to 17. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You need to repent of using your mind all the time. The situation in the tribulation will not be easy for anyone who refuses to take the mark of the beast. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision now to start on that narrow path with daily and regular repentance, if you want to follow Christ, then I can recommend this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If this message has spoken to you today and you want to be a mature son of God, then I can recommend this book, The Manifested Sons of God by Joseph Hedgecock. I believe that God has spoken to you today. He has a calling on your life. God's plans for you are beyond anything you can think or imagine. His plan is for you to rule and reign. He wants to give you a place of honor, a place of distinction, to set you high up above this world and all the nations that have boasted in their own wisdom and strength. God is going to present you to the world and use you. But you have to become a son. You have to become prepared before you can function in any position of authority in his kingdom. You've got to learn to become that servant of all. There's so many things that have to take place in your life. If you use your mind, you will delay that process. But you just got to submit to the Holy Spirit. One of these days, you are destined to rule. But you must learn now to just submit to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will embrace that conviction, embrace truth, and allow God to do that work in your life. When you see trials and tribulations coming your way, then you know that you're making progress. You know that you're progressing in your Christian life. And each time it will get easier as you trust in God, as you cling to him. And even when things get harder, the grace gets stronger. I pray for you. I pray that if this is what you really want, that you will decide to follow Christ and not look back. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I know that those who are listening to this message right now, you have touched their hearts. You have called them to be sons of glory. And Father, as you have called them, you will prepare them and you will chasten them. You will make them into who you want them to be. Father, I pray for them that they will not resist that process. They will not fight that and let go and let God. Hallelujah. I commit them into your hands. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that this message has touched you and it's a help to you. If you need to get in contact with us, there's more information afterwards. And at the end, there will be a summary of the scriptures so you can see what you've heard today and the things that have been said. In Jesus' name, God bless you.